The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord. I head home for my midday meal many days. Saves me from having to be organized enough in the morning to pack a lunch, and gives me a chance to let my dog Cooper out. It's not unusual for me to turn on the TV while I eat. One day this past week, I ended up watching a few minutes of a show I typically avoid, Hoarders, Buried Alive. The title says it all. The folks featured on Hoarders in this episode, a man named Mike, so compulsively collect and save stuff, and when I say stuff, sometimes it includes their garbage, that their living spaces become dangerous to themselves, their pets, occupants of adjoining spaces. Mike's condo throughout was filled with about 5 feet of hoard. He moved around by crawling in the 3-foot space between the top of the pile and the ceiling. I didn't watch enough of the episode to learn where he slept. As I said, I typically avoid this show. It just makes me sad. While most of us don't become extreme hoarders, we still are pretty good at keeping stuff. In our garages, our basements, our closets, our attics, our sheds. In the over 52,000 self-storage places across the United States, a number of them here in Carlisle, 2.1 billion, billion with a B, square feet of space available to rent for our stuff. It's our grandparents' furniture, which we can't bring ourselves to give away or sell, but have no good place for. Wedding dresses saved, well, just because. Old tax returns. Movie stub from our first date with our now spouse. A library of books we've read and loved over the years. Photo albums full of people whose names have been long forgotten. The blanket our first child came home from the hospital in, a high school diploma, the bulletin from our father's funeral, a whole wardrobe of clothes from several sizes ago that we swear we're going to fit in again someday, and I might have a couple boxes of those. Now, you will notice that none of those things sounds bad or wrong to keep in and of itself. There's no inherent sinfulness in wanting to have tangible connections to important memories or to be someone who holds on to personal business records longer than necessary, or to be someone who is proud of their past achievements or too cautious to use the really good china except for really special occasions. But our gospel lesson from Luke this morning certainly has something to say about our attitude toward all of this stuff. Now, I suspect that a first century Jewish man growing up as the son of a carpenter couldn't even begin to imagine what we 21st century Americans accumulate as part of our normal daily lives. But possessions and wealth clearly created issues even back in Jesus' day. Enough that a man in a crowd yells out to Jesus to ask him to settle a family dispute over an inheritance. Given what's been going on in Jesus' ministry leading up to this moment, the man's demand for Jesus' help in getting what he thinks his brother owes him is fairly obnoxious. Just a little while ago, Jesus began heading toward Jerusalem, toward the suffering and death he knows awaits him there. Along the way, as we've heard in our readings from Luke during the past month, Jesus appoints 70 followers to go out ahead of him and proclaim the coming of God's kingdom. And then he tells the parable of the Good Samaritan, has dinner with Mary and Martha, and teaches his disciples to pray. But interspersed with those rather tame stories included in our lectionary are lots of stories we don't end up hearing on Sunday morning. And so you wouldn't know from the last several weeks' readings that this is actually a time of great conflict in Jesus' ministry. While there are still adoring crowds clamoring around him, there are also people accusing Jesus of being in league with Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. In response to criticisms of him, Jesus has started speaking in rather apocalyptic terms and is quite harsh with the Pharisees and other religious leaders. "Woe to you," he says. "Woe to you. For you tithe mint and rue and herbs of all kinds and neglect justice and the love of God. Woe to you, for you load people with burdens hard to bear." As you might guess, Jesus' tough talk doesn't do anything to de-escalate the conflict. Luke tells us that the scribes and the Pharisees begin lying in wait for Jesus to catch him in something he might say. And so, as Jesus is on his way to his crucifixion, as he tries to encourage his followers not to be fearful in the face of persecution and not to worry about those who can kill the body, as he is in the midst of a crowd so big that people are being trampled, a voice calls out, "Jesus, tell my brother to give me my stuff." It's almost comical, isn't it? Such a demand at such a time. When Jesus is speaking about and dealing with life and death matters, someone wants him to arbitrate a family dispute over an inheritance. Jesus declines the invitation to get involved in that little drama. But the invitation also gives Jesus an opening to teach something important about what our relationship to our possessions should look like. And so he tells the parable known as the parable of the rich fool. Now, you may have noticed the rich fool isn't really a fool at all. He actually is quite a successful guy, knowing how to use his land, his workers, his resources effectively to grow abundant crops. His problem is that he is so successful, he's run out of space to store all the grain he's produced and all the goods he has accumulated. As a result, he thinks he's got to start his own first century self-storage industry, tearing down his old small buildings to build bigger ones. With ample goods laid up, the rich fool can live a self-indulgent life, all about relaxing, eating, drinking, and being merry. And that's the problem, isn't it? The rich fool doesn't give a thought, not one thought, to anyone else. He doesn't wonder if maybe some of the abundance he has accumulated, thanks to the blessings of God's good earth, the rain and the sun, the talents God gifted him with, and his own hard work, well, that might benefit others. Perhaps fill some hungry stomachs in the village nearby. It never occurs to the rich fool to look beyond himself and his own desire for the good life, to see the want and scarcity around him, and how he might make a difference. Unless we try to kid ourselves, Jesus makes it clear that how we understand and use and share or not share what we have is a life and death matter. For Jesus tells us exactly how God responds to the rich, short-sighted, self-centered fool. This very night, your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? It's unlikely anyone can really use the shoebox full of mixtapes from the 1980s that I still have, or the random other things I've saved and stored for various reasons. But I hope that I and you will always strive to be rich toward God by being rich toward others. That we will be people who share our abundant blessings instead of squirreling them away for ourselves. If anyone ever calls us a fool, my brothers and sisters, I hope it's because they see our joy and gladness as we offer all that we have to all who need it. Amen.